What does that mean to be the state historian? What exactly does that title convey?
As the state historian, I think one of my major responsibilities is to make sure that the history and culture of the state is presented accurately to the people. And that begins with the work that's done at History Colorado. And it also means that I should be prepared to deal with it elsewhere as well.
Now, your particular background, Dr. Way, will bring a different perspective, I think, to Colorado history. And that is, you're going to bring a much more diverse approach to that. Talk a little bit about your own background as an historian and your own areas of research. And then we'll talk about the need to have diversity when we are looking at our state's history.
Let me first of all say that I am trained. I earned my doctorate from the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. I'm trained as a modern Chinese history specialist, and I focus on what is called the Republican period, which is from the late Qing period to 1949. I have also, on my own, developed an interest and have done work on Asian American history. And within Asian American history, I'm most interested in Chinese American history. Modern Chinese history and Chinese American history actually overlaps because of the phenomenon of overseas Chinese. As you know, the Chinese, like some other people, have experienced a diaspora, meaning that for a variety of reasons that we normally call push-pull factors, you know, have left their native country to go elsewhere, to work and to live elsewhere. So in a sense, you know, I've always been interested in overseas Chinese as part of my work in Chinese history. But because of my personal story, I'm interested in the Chinese in America. So I began doing research and began teaching about Asian Americans. And because I happened to be in Colorado, I naturally was interested in the Asians in Colorado, and as you probably know, have written a book on that subject, Asians in Colorado, A History of Persecution and Perseverance in the Centennial State. And once you start studying Asians in Colorado, you in effect study the rest of Colorado history and culture, necessarily so, because in order to understand their experience, you have to place it in the larger context, you know, of the state's history.
Well, in terms of your own particular research there and the subject of your latest book, which was a 2017 Colorado Authors League's award winner for general nonfiction, that was back in 2017, or you were a finalist in the 2017 Colorado Authors League award for general nonfiction for that book, Asians in Colorado. The subtitle of that book, Asians in Colorado, A History of Persecution and Perseverance. That history of persecution and perseverance, give us a sense of the history of Asian Americans, and particularly Chinese Americans and Chinese immigrants here in Colorado.
Yes. The Chinese came, like many people who have come to Colorado, to work. All they wanted to do was find work, so they could support their families. And their families, for most of them, was overseas, back in China. So they came to work. They came, you know, to participate in the Colorado Gold Rush. They came to work on the railroads. They helped to build the infrastructure that has made Colorado a viable place to live. And they were employed in other ways as well. But even though there was a chronic need for laborers, and they were in part welcomed for their labor by some Coloradans, others, saw them as a threat. They saw them as a threat, economic competitors, the usual problem. They work too hard for too little. And some people say that's unfair, right? And especially people who themselves were experiencing difficulties in the economy as a result of the business cycle that is part of a capitalist economy. There's ups and downs, and it always affects workers. It doesn't matter, what ethnic or racial group you belong to, it will affect you. The problem is that they often look for a scapegoat, to explain their problems. And they think if they somehow deal with the scapegoat, this will be a panacea for their problems. And it isn't, because that's not the source of the problem. And that's where they've often been, persecuted. They were, quite frankly, forced into fewer and fewer occupations. They started out like others, panning for gold. They were placer miners, right? And they worked in some of the other underground mines, mining for coal and other resources. But because of this, they were driven out, of occupations by other workers who, quite frankly, were immigrants themselves and should have known better. But they were mainly concerned about their own livelihood, their own standard of living, and they would drive them out of these occupations, force them into fewer and fewer lines of work. One of the ones that was most popular were laundries. Now, let me be the first to tell you that Chinese are not disposed to washing other people's clothes for either biological or cultural reasons. They only did it because that was one of the few occupations that they were allowed to enter. Same thing for cooking. They ended up cooking food for others, opening up restaurants, because that's one of the professions that they were allowed into. And it was problematic. Things got so bad for them that they suffered the infamous Denver race riot, an anti-Chinese race riot that occurred on October 31st, 1880, in which an estimated quarter of the Denver population descended on Chinatown and engaged in raping and pillaging. So that would be probably the apex of the anti-Chinese experience in Colorado. And to get through all that, they had to have true grit. And by the way, I want you to know that was going to be, I hope that was going to be the title of my book. I tried it out on the publishers, and they said, "William, you can't use that title." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, one, it's already been used as a title, And second, it makes the book sound like it's about cowboys, And I said, okay. So I came up with the other title that you know of.
I've spoken with your predecessors, who were the state historians, Dr. Tom Knoll and Dr. Patty Limerick, about the role of history and the fact that we need to use history to inform what's happening right now. And your own work looking at the history of Asian Americans and Chinese immigrants here in Colorado, of course, we're right now dealing with immigration policy that people are grappling with, and many people say harks back to previous immigration policy that targeted other groups. I mean, what would you like us to learn from history, and particularly the research that you've done in terms of how Chinese Americans were treated? How would you like us to use that knowledge to grapple with what's happening today?
Yes. Well, immigration is, in fact, and an important subject, even more so today, since it's become a political issue. And the thing to say about immigration is that we have gone through periods of time in which we have imposed restrictions on immigration and restrictions on immigrants. We've seen this all previously. Yeah? We see currently a resurgence of nativism and xenophobia that's directed against immigrants, mainly from those from Central America. And we should have learned from our past history, yeah, that much of the allegations that have been leveled against them are, in fact, spurious ones. As you know, the leaders of our country have made these outrageous accusations against immigrants and have used armed means to prevent them from coming into the country. And we've seen this all before. They repeatedly accuse them of things such as, well, these people will not assimilate into our society. In fact, all previous groups have been accused of not being able to assimilate into American society, and history has shown that they have all assimilated into society. Even first-generation immigrants will assimilate to a certain degree for reasons of survival. And by the third generation, for practical purposes, they are just like everyone else. So that is clearly a spurious allegation. Yeah? They say that they constitute a threat to the society. And clearly the research shows that they are less of a threat than native-born Americans, who commit many more crimes than the immigrants, because the immigrants, quite frankly, are too busy making a living and supporting their families. One of the ironies is that people look at them and they question the values they bring, when in fact, a lot of the immigrants that come, have what we like to think of as American values. They believe in their family. They practice a religion. And I think it's incumbent upon us, who know better, to try to challenge some of this misinformation and distortions that have been leveled against immigrants. And it's very important that we do so.
We're speaking today with Dr. William Way, who is the newly minted state historian for Colorado. His first day is August 1st, which is Colorado Day. Dr. Way, what would you like your tenure as state historian to be?
Yes, I would like in the year that I'm the state historian that I can use it as a bully pulpit to talk about what we just did, that is immigration, and try to correct some of the errors that have been made about immigration and about immigrants, as well as other issues. I would also like to encourage my fellow council members and other historians to be genuine public intellectuals by engaging in what is sometimes referred to as applied history, where we will publish works that is accessible to the population, that we will speak not just simply to our students, but to the larger community. And I would like, during this period of time, that we make the resources of History Colorado more available to the people throughout the state. And resources, especially about our diverse communities, who are often overlooked.
how do you think we're doing in terms of history education at all levels of public education here? Because I know you are at the University of Colorado in Boulder, so that's a third level. But for the youngest children from elementary school to middle school to high school and then up to the college level, how do you think we're doing in terms of either teaching history and teaching history of diverse groups, but also really engaging young people in the importance of history?
Well, I think the teachers, the K-12 teachers, my colleagues in the colleges and universities in the state are doing a terrific job under rather difficult circumstances. They are trying to teach, you know, about their history subjects, the areas that they are specialists in, you know, to students who have been persuaded that history isn't as important, you know, and that they should, in fact, be focusing on the STEM fields. And hence, we've seen a declining interest at the university in history and humanities in general. And that's really problematic. One of the things I've tried to explain to parents and to students is that, look, when you go to college for a higher education, what you learn will hold you in good stead for your life. It's not a vocational school where we prepare you for a job. If you have the liberal arts education that we're offering, and you have the various skills that we're trying to impart, you know, the ability to communicate, to think critically, you will be able to perform a whole variety of jobs. And so it's been a real, I think, a challenge. People have been trying awfully hard. Let me say that in my own department of history at the University of Colorado at Boulder, when I first started out, it was a predominantly American history and European history department. There were very few of us who did what we refer to as world areas. And now, over time, we have many more people who do that work. We offer many more courses in diverse areas of the world. So, you know, there's been a marked progress, but it has been slow, you know, and it's been in many ways an uphill battle. The same could be said for ethnic studies courses as well. As you know, it wasn't even a recognized field, and it took, in a sense, a political movement to institute ethnic studies in schools, in colleges, and universities. And it's a struggle to maintain them there because they are vulnerable, you know, in times of economic exigency.
Well, Dr. William Way is the new state historian for Colorado. He is a professor in history at the University of Colorado in Boulder. He's an expert in Asian American history, and his latest book is Asians in Colorado, A History of Persecution and Perseverance in the Centennial State. That book was, in fact, a finalist for the 2017 Colorado Authors League's Award for General Nonfiction, and his tenure has just been on as the state historian. Dr. William Way, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us this afternoon.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you very much for inviting me.